Hey, everybody, and welcome to another team feature. Today, I'm interviewing Matt Muto. And so he's one of our audio engineers, but he's an audio engineer extraordinaire. And we're going to have a chance to ask him some questions and get to know him a little bit better. You ready, Matt?
Yeah, thanks for the very kind intro.
Yeah. All right. What is a digital tool that you use every day? And why is it really important?
I use Reaper, which is a digital audio workstation, or DAW for short. And it is important because it gives you a lot more control over the final product of your recording.
If you had a podcast, what would it be about?
So as you know, Matt, and I've mentioned this before, I hosted a radio show last summer that showcased local talent here where I live in Kingston, Ontario. By the way, I'm not afraid of revealing my location. So if you want to reach out to me on any social media, you can find me that way. I hosted a show about local musicians here during the pandemic last summer, at the height of the pandemic when it was brand new. And it was also turned into a podcast. We had interview section and we had a performance section. So it'd be interview, questions, and conversation followed by a performance, and then repeat that pattern for two or three more songs. It was a lot of fun. And I'll actually be doing, I want to shout this out really quickly, I'll be doing something similarly this summer, starting in June. And if you want to know more about it, you can find me on LinkedIn at Matt Muto in Kingston, Ontario. And you can find me on Twitter as well, and Instagram, both under Matt Muto Music.
Nice. You know what? We should probably have your guys' social links. I should probably bring that up to the team to make sure that
that's a great idea.
If people want to connect with you, they should be able to connect with you. Okay. Which podcasts are you listening to these days and why?
So I'll name three. There's the first one I listen to the most because I don't have time to watch every basketball game in the NBA. I'm a huge basketball fan. There's a podcast called No Dunks that was formerly The Starters on NBA TV, where they had their own TV show before they turned it back into a podcast. But before that, they were a podcast called The Basketball Jones, and that got bought out by The Score in Canada and also became a TV show. So these guys have done TV and podcasting interchangeably for years. And funny enough, as we're transitioning to the video live stream world as a group and as a company, these guys did the same thing. They have a video webcast, or podcast, if you want to call it, that they do every day at 10 a.m. for an hour. These guys are churning out tons and tons of content. They have other videos they do throughout the day as well, but they're just lighthearted guys. They're really easy to identify with. They interact with their chat. I love basketball. It's great. Another one I want to shout out is from a local radio station who turns their shows into podcasts as well, here in Kingston, Ontario, called the Late Late Capitalism Show on the CFRC network. And basically, it's just a hilariously over-the-top left-wing analysis of Canadian and international politics. And just like when I listened to, or in the past, when I listened to Rush Limbaugh just to hear some ridiculousness, these guys are kind of similar. Some of their takes are nuanced, some are not. It's very entertaining either way. Another podcast I listen to, and isn't really like a concurrent events type of podcast, it's called the Thunder Bay Podcast, developed by CanadaLand.com. It's an incredibly eye-opening podcast on the political corruption and persistent violent prejudice against Canadian Aboriginal communities in Thunder Bay, Ontario. I knew it was bad there, but I didn't know how bad it was. Thunder Bay is still, despite what a lot of people say, pretty cool to visit. I just didn't know about the shady underbelly that not all the community represents, but some do. And if you're Canadian, you need to go listen to that show right now.
What is the best compliment you've ever received about your work?
I was working on a hip hop project with an artist back when I lived in the GTA, and we were producing an album together. He contracted me for that, and he compared me to Kanye West's mentor, No ID. And I thought that was insane because No ID is so inspirational. If you look up No ID, you will see how many people say that they cite him as an inspiration, despite him not being a household name. On that project, I couldn't settle for being just a mix engineer, despite that being what was requested originally for that album. And I made a lot of creative suggestions and additions to the project. You know, like we brought in new samples, new production techniques, like adding like a reverb or echo effect to make it like from a more musical perspective, not just to add like a coat of sheen. It was really cool. That was easily the best compliment I've ever gotten. And that was a lot of fun.
Let's talk about what you do specifically in your area of specialization. In your approach to audio editing, where do you draw inspiration?
A bunch of places. When I listen to anything, I'm listening to how well it is produced and edited. And that's just because that's the world I come from. It's been really cool to see all these people who are going live or doing podcasts from their home in a very amateur sense. And I hope that encourages them, if they find success in that, to keep researching about how to make their product better. And that's what we do here at Proudmouth. We want to help you be your own loud and be the best that you can be with whatever realm you are covering in your podcasts or your shows. That being said, I am inspired by two of my instructors specifically. Back when I was at Seneca College on York campus, I did a year-long certificate program there in independent music production. And they basically educated our class about how you can make it in the world of audio and music if you're ready to take on a lot of different responsibilities and wear different hats. Alfio Annabellini is an incredible producer who has worked with so many artists, from the Arkells to DMX to there's other artists I want to name right now, but I'm just drawing a blank, unfortunately. He's incredible. He's often not listed on a lot of the credits for those artists' albums because he asks not to be credited. Not sure why, but he's a very modest guy. John Switzer is the head of the department there, or at least was when I was there. And he's also worked with some incredible Canadian groups, maybe not in just a studio setting, but he has also worn a lot of different hats. And I know while he's worn different hats, he's worked with Blue Rodeo, Great Big Sea at different points. Amazing people inspire me every day. As far as music goes, I'm really inspired by Kevin Parker of Tame Impala, MF Doom. He produced all of his own music when he was alive. George Martin with the Beatles, obviously huge in the music industry. Dr. Dre, an incredible producer and hip hop artist in general. Eddie Kramer, who is Jimi Hendrix's producer when he was alive, even though he's a bit of a snake and kind of is sucking the life out of all of his posthumous work. Tyler, the Creator, who not only raps, but creates all his own background instrumentals. Incredible artist. Mike O'Brien and Carla Nicholson from a Toronto band called Zeus, who really got me into contemporary music back when I was a classic rock and grunge head. And Alan Parsons, who worked with Pink Floyd and has some of his own projects as well. That list of people, easily where I am most inspired when it comes to audio and music production.
What kind of podcast keeps you listening to the end? I love asking this question. What is your answer to that?
I'm going to use a term called organized chaos. So the more chaotic something is, the more fun it can be. But if you can hone in that chaos and make it organized, then it becomes an organic experience rather than sounding like it's just read from a script. There is some spontaneity throughout the show while also having some structure. I really appreciate at the beginning of a podcast highlighting the skeleton of what you're going to be talking about, point A, point B, point C. And then after that, stop your listing right there. No more lists for the rest of the show. Just let it all naturally flow and try to make it a fun conversation for not only the listener, but for you. Because if you're having fun, the listener is going to have fun. I also appreciate the ability to make conversation between hosts and guests sound natural. I know that sounds redundant, but when you're talking to your listeners, just as a solo person, that can be fun if you sound like you're having fun. But when you're talking to someone else, it's a totally different experience. You basically just want the listener to be a fly on the wall rather than talking to them. Now, you can address them at various points throughout, but having them be a fly on the wall is really why I think a lot of people listen to a lot of shows.
I say that all the time. And you guys can get this out in editing, but I bring that up all the time. You know, I always point right back to my wall here. I'm like, look, the goal is for somebody to be sitting right there and feel like they're in the room with you and feeling what's going on, but they're just that passive person in the back. I absolutely love that. All right. How important is it to use state-of-the-art equipment? In full disclosure here, I want everybody to know that Matt has better equipment than anybody else in the company. So how important is that to Joe Schmuckatelli, the normal podcasting person?
As I mentioned earlier, I said that it was really cool that with the internet and the accessibility of all these microphones and all of our devices and video cameras for that matter as well, it's really cool how accessible starting off becomes. You don't need industry standard equipment to start. What you should focus on starting out is making the content of your show good. Once you get comfortable in that and you're starting to see success, that's when you can start to invest more money and time into the equipment and setup of that. And once you have that all set up, it's not the first thing. Say that their equipment is never the first thing. It's something that comes later. Like I said earlier, having that organized chaos with the format of your show being established, making it interesting and entertaining to the viewer, that's the most important thing.
What is one thing that you wish podcasters knew while they were recording to make the post-production process smoother?
Well, Matt, I know you say this all the time on LinkedIn and Facebook, but there's lots of little things such as being mindful of your guffaws, such as so's, you know's, likes, and ands. Having them here and there is great because it sounds like natural conversation. But repeating them over and over and over again gets tiring to listen to. So just listening back to your shows and really being critical of yourself next time you go to record, just trying to be mindful of that. I know you've also said this as well. 2-finger distance, about 1 inch, maybe 2 inches away from the microphone is very important. Be mindful of your microphone and what you're doing. So if your microphone is attached to your desk or the floor, stomping around or hitting the desk is going to be picked up. There's lots of people talk for a while without intermittent breathing as well. Again, Matt talks about all of this. So if you're interested in those tips, check out his LinkedIn and Facebook profiles and Proudmouth Facebook profiles. They're all on there. Some other things that Matt doesn't really talk about, I think, is the space you're recording in. If you're recording in a hallway or a room that is really echoey, that makes it a lot harder for editors or even just the quality of your podcast to sound consistent. Another example, if you were outside and it was a windy day, the microphone is going to pick that up. It's the same thing. What you want to do is you want to control all these different elements of your show and just make it a very controlled process so that there's no outside distractions being picked up by the microphone.
What is at least one thing that podcasters can do while recording to help produce a high quality podcast?
Now, I mentioned before that you don't want to be in an echoey room. You don't need to be in a professional sound treated room or studio. Just, you know, having a separate office where there's enough stuff on the walls, I guess, will help. Before you record, remind yourself that you're meant to inform and entertain. And really, that's all you need to do. Be prepared for your show. Have some notes. Don't necessarily read it off word for word. Just know what the format of your show is going to be and know what your talking points are. And maybe have some fun facts on the side that if you have time to bring up after, you know, sometimes you don't want to go too long or too short. If you have time to implement some of these other fun questions or things to bring up in your show, bring them in. If you don't, you can leave them. That's why they're in the extra points column or whatever you want to call it.
How important is it to have somebody like you, an audio engineer, to edit a person's podcast instead of them doing it themselves?
Now, I'm not trying to put myself out of a job here because, Matt, I don't want you to think that I'm not important. I do think I'm important. I think I provide a valuable service here to the company, but you don't really need me. I'm here to, once you have the state of the art equipment and once you have the show format established and everything, I'm here to just make you shine more so. When you're starting out, you just need to, like I said before, be prepared and have good content. That's all, and be entertaining. That's all you really need to do. There's so many YouTube videos out there showing you how to do simple things in programs like Audacity. That's a great program to get started out when you're editing. If everything sounds good during the recording process, you don't need to do a lot. I will add the finishing touches here at Proudmouth if you do a good recording process, but you don't need me to have a quality product or someone like me. You can, as long as the recording is good, it will suffice.
Why are you working here? What has kept you with us for how long have you been here now?
I believe I started in either August or I think it was August of 2020.
So you're north of 6 months. So you've settled in, right? And so why are you still here?
I mean, first of all, I really believe in the passion that our executive team shows. Not a lot of bosses, I suppose, are capable of showing the passion that they have for the vision they have, but also being super considerate about their employees or the people they work with, even if you're just a contracted employee. Matt, Lisa, and Kirk do a really great job of making us feel valued and are very open to criticism. I think I've been overly critical sometimes of our team, and not because I don't think they're doing a great job, just because there's always, no matter who you are, you can always be better at something or implement new ideas. That's something that's kept me around. Being able to receive that critical lens has been awesome, because I talk way too much, if that isn't evident already. And I also am very critical because I just want everything to be the best that it can be. The ability to work from home with these talented and kind people during the global pandemic has been incredible. I do a lot of contracts on the side too. So on weekends and stuff, I have time to work with local artists in my area to help them produce the best music that I can produce. Or if a friend of mine wants to start start recording a sports podcast or something, or a quick YouTube video, I help them with the audio. So having that flexibility to work from home has been great, especially during the pandemic. When I am working on podcasts from our clients and from our own content, I'm finding that more often than not, I'm enjoying the podcast itself. Now, in the financial world, you're going to hear a lot of repetition on some of these podcasts, and that's okay because these points need to be covered and not everyone's going to be able to hear everybody's podcast. So I don't enjoy listening to those necessarily, but there's a lot of interesting points that are brought up regarding security, cybersecurity, and your finances. There's investing and just the whole like GME and the GameStop bubble. And that was a thing that was very exciting and very interesting to listen to. Cryptocurrencies, lots of cool stuff. So I enjoy listening to all that great content. Yeah, I think that about sums it up. Wonderful people, flexibility, and so sometimes some cool stuff to listen to.
Nice. Well, brother, we really appreciate you being here and everything that you do for the team. So thanks for taking some time to let everybody get to know you a little bit better.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about myself. I really appreciate it.